On Demand with Jenna Ellis. This is the show where we do a deeper dive into the issues that you want to hear about on demand. And of course, we've been talking about the FEMA situation and how the government, of course, so many departments of government are being weaponized against conservatives, against Christians, and against particularly Trump supporters. And this week, there was a hearing in Congress about FEMA's top priority that was listed as instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. And apparently that means passing by houses that have Trump signs in their yard, which it is absolutely ridiculous that the federal government can discriminate against an individual and against citizens with a service that they are supposed to provide based on political viewpoint, especially in the expression of a yard sign or a flag in their yard. And so Congressman Michael Cloud was part of this hearing, and this is part of what he had to say.
And I will point to this. FEMA's current strategic plan lists three goals. The first goal is to instill equity. We know that these DEI initiatives have had a discriminatory aspect in it. We've seen a lot of companies now having embraced it out of altruistic means, but understanding that what they do is they ask us to discriminate proactively. One of the things it mentions is this plan lists racial minorities, even religious minorities, as individuals who should be the beneficiaries of equity. So I would ask you, who's a religious majority, religious or a racial majority? Does FEMA make decisions about resources distributed according to these policies? Because this is in the strategic plan. And so whatever your case is on this, you're asking your employees to make distinguishment between individuals as opposed to just meeting a need. I tell people all the time in our office, we don't care who you are, we don't care what your voting record is, we don't care your background, your whatever. When you walk into our office, as many offices here, even across the aisle, we're here to help and to help get your case through. I think that should be the very clear standing of FEMA. And I would encourage you to revise your strategic plan and rid it of all the DEI. We'll be addressing this actually in a markup, I think, tomorrow. But if you could do that, I think that would go a far way to making sure we have a proactive culture to where it's very clear so these isolated incidences don't pop up. Because what we didn't see in that text thread was any pushback on that either. And that should have been clear, like, no, we're not about that. That's not what FEMA's about. And I would encourage you to do that.
So Representative Cloud also then this week put forward the Dismantle DEI Act, which he says will restore accountability by eliminating DEI offices, removing mandates on federal contractors, and ensuring taxpayer dollars serve all Americans. So joining me now to discuss is Congressman Michael Cloud from the great state of Texas. So Congressman, what came out of this hearing, I think, showed the need for this type of Dismantle DEI Act. Where is this situated, and do your colleagues agree with this?
I had one of the Democratic reps after the DEI hearing came up to me, and he kind of off the record was like, let's be honest, the American people spoke pretty clearly a couple weeks ago about what they think about the DEI policies. And we're seeing businesses who had embrace these ideologies, retract on them because they realize they're just not working. And what studies are available would show that the idea of fighting discrimination by imposing discrimination is not working and is actually having the opposite effect of what it claims to solve. And, so you're seeing a lot of pushback from it. Certainly American people did respond a couple weeks ago to say, this is not where we want this country to be going.
That's an important point, that it does seem like the left's view and the Democrats' view of DEI and to fight discrimination is to simply discriminate against conservatives for our political beliefs or Christians for our faith or basically anyone that isn't a leftist. And so what was uncovered at the FEMA hearing in terms of the overall policy that was implemented, because you know this FEMA director who was fired wanted to make it sound like it was a widespread issue, and then of course some of the higher ups in FEMA wanted to say, well, no, this was just an isolated thing. This isn't our policy.
Right. And, you know, I've been, and I mentioned it in the hearing, but, you know, I've been in briefing after briefing after briefing across the spectrum of agencies in our government, and they'll always point to the policy manual as a defense. And we're like, we're not debating the policy manual. I'm sure the policy manual is copacetic, because anything you're going to put in print like that is good. But the problem is the policies aren't being followed, and you have a culture that, regardless of what the policies are, allow for this kind of thing, and it's certainly not clear that it's not welcome. And specifically, when you look at the strategic plans of a number of these agencies, and it was clear in FEMA as well, equity being the number one thing, and then it goes on to explain what that means, that you're going to be favoring certain people over other people, it creates a culture where the employees within the federal government think that that's their job, that that's their right to begin to evaluate which people are worthy of the government's aid and which aren't. Based on, you know, indeterminate characteristics. And so this is, again, not the way we want to go as a country. We want to have justice is supposed to be blind. We want to have a government that responds to you however it should, not based on the color of your skin. We want people to be promoted based on merit and work ethic and these sorts of things, not evaluated on these social determinants.
Yeah, you know, speaking about the written policy, it reminds me of that old Tom Cruise movie, A Few Good Men, you know, where they're in trial, they're saying, you know, this isn't in the policy. And then it's like, of course it's not.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, it's literally that same instance. And everybody knows that the policy isn't necessarily going to be followed. And of course, the thing that you
right.
want to hide isn't going to be written in the policy. So maybe, you know, maybe you need to get up there and say, you can't handle the truth. And we'll go that direction. But
yeah. Show me where the meth hall is in the policy manual. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. 100%. But within this act then that you've proposed, the dismantle DEI, is this just about dismantling DEI or actually promoting merit-based hiring and some of these things that seem harder to implement in a society that does want to, at least on some level, some of the leftists do want to hire based on, you know, sex or skin color or some of these other, you know, diversity quotients?
Mm-hmm. Well, what we've seen in the Biden administration is in virtually every agency and department, they have stood up these DEI offices. And, you know, in the case of Health and Human Services, for example, we have almost 300 DEI employees. They're spending close to $40 million on this. And so they're working to make sure that the hiring process or that federal employees are being trained in this Marxist ideology. You know, people are in some cases having to sign these statements of, you know, whatever, you know, having to do with race and all these different kind of things. But then they also, in an effort to force feed this on the American people, any company, if you're a company doing business with the federal government, you're a contractor, you were also pushed to embrace these sorts of policies. And if you wanted to get a federal grant on any sort of thing, they begin to look at those sorts of things as well. Is your organization following these sorts of policies as well? So it wasn't just them pushing this through the federal government. It was working to push it through society in everything, in every way they could.
Where did this really originate from? I mean, we've seen, you know, some of the other nations like Canada, for example, that have, you know, been unfortunately a few years ahead of us in these types of areas and pushing even SOGI, like sexual orientation, gender identity language, you know, some of those things. Mm-hmm. I remember that was a really big deal when Donald Trump was trying to replace NAFTA with the USMCA, and Canada was kind of trying to sneak that into the language that, you know, anything under that type of trade agreement, even contrary to U.S. Employment law, would have to respect SOGE, even though obviously that's the Congress's purview. So we're seeing that, you know, maybe come from some other countries, but internally to the U.S., you know, is this originating, for example, just in FEMA? Where would this have come from? I mean, somebody had to create this policy to begin with.
Sure. You know, I think that it starts with a Marxist ideology that's been working its way. You could probably point to our universities. It's the way this has been kind of propagated through society. And then you end up having people go straight from university now with a degree in BEI, for example, into our federal government. And really, it's federal employees that the American taxpayer are supporting that aren't really returning any sort of value. They're not a value add. They're not providing a service. They're not. They're just basically spreading a political ideology and force feeding it through our federal government and then through the contracting and grant writing process. This is a movement that is completely contrary to the founding principles that this nation were built upon. And, you know, obviously when we look through history, we haven't perfectly practiced those founding principles, but we've been on the right path and on the cutting edge of leading the world in overcoming, you know, racism and those sorts of things. And so we need to continue, as our founding documents, continue to work toward that more perfect union, but you don't solve discrimination by implementing and institutionalizing discrimination.
Yeah, and for anyone rational, that makes a lot of sense. And America has always been about equal opportunity, not this whole notion from the left of equity or this type of diversity quotient that is forcing that's forcing some kind of a diversity hiring regime, or in this instance with FEMA, having these types of rules that are clearly just targeted discrimination based on political viewpoint. And it seems like with the Biden-Harris last 4 years, that has only increased specifically to target their political opponents, whether, you know, again, it's Trump supporters, it's Christians, it's just conservatives overall. And that has nothing even to do with the traditional notion of DEI, like, you know, well, you have to have so many women or you have to have so many minorities.
Right.
And this is just targeted discrimination. Are there going to be any consequences for those types of policies somewhere like FEMA?
There should be. I mean, of course, the challenge in all of these sort of things is we've got to reform the bureaucracy to make it easier to fire people who are bad actors in society. Obviously, we've got to have enough votes in Congress to begin to defund these sorts of things. You have a lot of people campaign on it, and then they'll come here and not take the tough votes or the important votes when it takes to get it done. I think we're in a better place than ever to deal with the bureaucracy. It's exciting to see the administration that President Trump is putting together that I believe will have the wherewithal and certainly the gumption to deal with these sorts of things, realizing the moment of history that we're in. And the American people have spoken very clearly on it. And like you're saying, you know, this isn't – when you look at how this has played out in our federal government, it's not these typical, you know, what you think of as diversity. It's some of these things are very bizarre. I mean, the you know, skipping houses with Trump signs is you know, one of the things. But, I mean, we're also funding, like, drag shows in other countries, and I mean, just some of the books that they'll make that they'll advocate for are books that embrace racists and very, you know, as they go through these trainings. You have the NSA literally putting out a memo talking about how cross-dressing makes you a better intelligence officer. You know, I mean, it's just how this is just begin to rear its ugly head throughout our government in a thousand different ways is bizarre. Of course, it's flying under the radar for most people, but the American people are waking up to this as we're able to dig into these sorts of things. And it's just, you know, this isn't where you're thinking, hey, we want just everybody to be able to get along in the workplace and respect each other's background. Yeah, we want that. But that's not what this has been, as it's been an ideology that's been propagating itself throughout our federal government.
Yeah, and I want to follow up on that because I had no idea. We're actually, our federal government is funding drag shows in other countries. That's insane.
Department and supported an LGBTQI film festival in Bulgaria, which featured, you know, pedophilic themes. And it's like, it's just bizarre when you get into how the tax, and again, this is taxpayer funded ideology. Like, one of the comments they were trying to make yesterday in the pushback on our DEI bill was like, oh, you won't let people talk about diversity. You can't have a DEI office in your business. It's like, you can do whatever you want to. What we're saying is we're not going to force the taxpayers to fund this sort of thing. If you want to have a drag show in your business, as long as you're, you know, not doing illegal things with it, you know, when it comes to pedophilia and treating children wrong, I think it's probably a waste of resources, but we're not prohibiting that. We're just saying we're not going to have the taxpayers fund these sort of wild, outlandish practices and pretend like it's normal.
Is this the left's idea of like spreading democracy? I mean, this is what we're doing now, is saying that, you know, we're funding drag shows because that's going to lead to, you know, better societies in Bulgaria. I mean, what exactly is the rationale here?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've talked to a number of different ambassadors and dignitaries from other countries. And when you look at what they're having to deal with right now, they're like, we appreciate the United States and their history of freedom and how they've led on the world stage over the last generations. And we would like to align ourselves and embrace with that. But right now we go to the United States and this is what we get. We get these sort of policies that they want us to advance, these anti-family policies they want us to foist on our society. You know, I've had some say, you know, we're a Christian country, and these are anti-Christian, anti-family policies that the State Department's advocating for us to embrace. Or we can align ourselves with China, who we don't appreciate, the authoritarianism, the communism, but they're willing to help us with roads and bridges and ports. And so to the countries who are like trying to decide where to align themselves right now, this has been their choice. And I've heard this from a number of different countries. I think there's a certain excitement, even though countries realize they'll be challenged, according to the, you know, President Trump's not going to let them get away with us, for example, in NATO, paying everybody else's portion. You know, so there will be some accountability there. But I think at the same time, they're looking forward to the leadership in the United States taking that place that we've had in the world of leadership in a righteous and just means. And so it'll be exciting to see where we go from here.
Yeah, well, and to your point about this spreading a specific religious ideology, I mean, cultural Marxism and also the whole LGBTQ agenda is religious-based. I mean, it has obviously a view of man, of human beings, of anthropology. It has a view of religion and of God. And this is spreading a viewpoint and a worldview, and it is antithetical to Christian values. And the pushback from the left is always, well, Christians, you know, you need to just keep your religion at home. You can't bring that into government practice, which of course is a total myth, and it's a ridiculous argument. But at the same time that they're expressing, Christian, you have to keep your religion at home or maybe in your church, and you can't advocate for Christian values in government, they are pushing their own worldview and their own religion through these things and through taxpayer-funded initiatives like this that clearly Christians and anyone of faith, and honestly anyone of sanity, but especially people of faith, would clearly disagree with. So how have they gotten away with this? I mean, has it just been that it's just, you know, tagged on to so much other funding that nobody has really raised any concerns about it?
There's been concerns made, but, you know, right now, you know, they've had Biden administration in the White House. Obviously, we need to have more Republicans who are willing to look into these things and you know, hold the line and say we're not going to keep funding these sorts of things just because we funded it last year. The federal government's grown tremendously since COVID. You know, you'll hear Elon, for example, come in and talk about we need to cut $2 trillion. And we're like, oh, my gosh, that's You know, people think that's a lot of money. That only gets us back to pre-COVID spending, which, by the way, nobody thought we were this lean, mean fighting machine of federal government before then. Even then, they were like, this is a pretty bloated organization with, you know, has a right that's ready and ripe for waste, fraud, and abuse. So there's a lot of work to be done to really just right-size the federal government and get us back to doing these sorts of things. But, you know, there was this shame game, too, though, that the left had embraced that kind of kept people, like, well, locked down for the longest time, I think, and took, you know, courage is contagious as well. And so, you know, for people being able to stand up for these sorts of things, you know, you can point to President Trump, obviously, being maybe the biggest, boldest example of this, but being able to stand up enough until people begin to realize, like, what they were trying to, this corner they were trying to back us into was not right. And we've seen, in the last couple weeks, especially in the election, just the American people standing up and saying, we're seeing through this now. We're not going to buy into it.
Wow. Well, and do you know, just offhand, approximately how much money is going from the federal government to other countries to fund specifically things like, you know, Dragon and LGBT sort of initiatives, and where those items are? I mean, is this coming from like UN funding, or what are we talking about?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the hard part is you know, there's not a line item for drag shows. It'll be like, oh, cultural activities for the DOD soldiers or something. Or, you know, for example, in education, it'd be like a humanities grant to a university, and then they'll turn around and use it for these kind of crazy initiatives. And so it's been a process, and one of the things we're trying to do is bring transparency to the grant writing process, because there is very little accountability in these sorts of things. And you'll have somebody who's sitting in a cubicle deciding where this money's going, but the top lines for the line items are not in that. But we don't have a way right now to be able to tie that grant to a specific federal employee. That's one of the things that needs to be done so that we can bring direct accountability to these sort of things. When you try to bring accountability, it ends up being, well, you know, it's in the department and it's kind of in this morass where 40 people are responsible for it, which means nobody's responsible for it. And so that becomes the challenge. But this is, you know, the bureaucracy's been very effective at protecting themselves. And we've got to have people here in Congress, and certainly the administration is willing to do this, but we're going to have Congress back it up and be willing to rein in the funding for these. You know, it's been, for years up here, I've been saying, it's very simple. Let's stop sending them money to do bad things. It's not that hard. They can't do it unless we fund it. And it's our job to, you know, true care and compassion isn't just sending money based on a good intent. It's actually doing the due diligence to make sure that any dollar that we're spending of the taxpayers' dollar is actually having the desired effect, is actually being effective. So it's doing the due diligence to make sure that that dollar is getting exactly where it needs to go and that it's accomplishing what it's supposed to do. And that's the kind of thing Congress actively involved in.
Absolutely, not just, you know, kind of this general fund of saying, oh, well, we're sending humanitarian aid, you know, to Bulgaria, for example, that ends up being spent on these so-called cultural programs that turn out to be drag shows that clearly, hopefully, wouldn't be Congress's intent. Maybe that's some of the Democrats on the left, and that is their intent. But I don't think that the majority of the American taxpayers would be okay with their tax dollars going to support this kind of thing. And so, you know, you're starting then, Congressman Cloud, with this dismantled DEI Act to restore, you know, accountability, some of these things. Is there part of this act, or would this be something separate, like maybe through this new initiative, DOGE, to actually figure out what is being spent, where and how, and starting to kind of roll back some of this spending, or at least encourage Congress to do that? I mean, where do we start?
Yeah, specifically with this bill, it really focuses on three things, and that is, one, defunding the executive orders that that stood up all these offices throughout the agencies. So it would get rid of those agencies, which again is not only just bad policy, but it's a unnecessary weight on the taxpayer. So it would get rid of those, and then through the contracting and grant writing process where they've been trying to force feed that, it would correct those. And so this goes from any agency, from DOD to HHS to, you know, any sort of agency. You know, recently we're working with the Army Corps on some projects in our district, and they're a year behind on what was supposed to be a 2-year project. So that's a pretty substantial, but yet they spent three days about a week and a half ago on a basic DEI training where they all got together. And it's like, you know, and unless you're having a training that has to do with how to dredge faster, how to build things quicker, how to permit quicker, I don't know what you're doing. You know, you're already a year behind on a 2-year project. So this is the kind of stuff we've got to just get out of the federal government. But then, you know, there's a lot of initiatives that we need to do just through our oversight capacity, through how we spend money as Congress, to do the due diligence to make sure that we're spending money properly. And this is where we've got to have people who are willing to do the votes. You know, we'll campaign on these big initiatives, but then we'll fall short of the votes. Even to, you know, CISA was one of the examples recently, to where, you know, we had some proof that there was some electioneering going on and some things that they were doing that wasn't right. And we couldn't even get the votes to hold their funding level flat, much less bring the kind of reforms or you know, and we've seen this kind of thing in the past. So we're going to have to get to the point to where we're willing to make these cuts with the understanding, like, it's actually going to give a better product. And it's one of the reasons we're excited to see Elon involved. I mean, he walked into Twitter to get rid of 70% of the workforce and actually have a better product to show for it. This is the kind of thing that needs to happen in our federal government right now.
Absolutely. And so where is the Republican conference? I mean, I know it's changing just a little bit with the incoming Congress in January in terms of the composition. You'll have, you know, a few different members. But overall, I mean, is there spine and will and consensus that this kind of thing needs to be defunded?
Yes, I believe so. You know, if you were to ask anybody, you know, do we need to get rid of DEI? You know, if you're going to ask a Republican who's been elected in the last election, for certain, I mean, the American people have spoken clearly. So there's an understanding that needs to be done. The problem is a lot of that comes in, like you said, it'll be a humanities grant to education. And then they'll, you know, we'll hear from universities back in the district. They'll be like, oh, you know, and you just have to be willing to, as a member, to do the work to meet with these organizations and say, this is why we're not going to fund this. You know, I realize you want the dollars, but that's not the role of the federal government, and we're not supposed to be involved in that. We're happy to support you in the proper things, but in these areas where it's not providing value for the taxpayer dollars, we're not going to do it. And to be able to, and the thing is, the American people get that. As long as you're willing to go back home and communicate it, and let people know, they'll get it.
I can imagine everybody, at least, you know, my regular listeners who are listening to this right now, would probably unanimously agree from, you know, our AFR family that these types of things need to be defunded, and actually outrage that our tax dollars are going to these things that clearly we didn't vote for, we didn't authorize Congress to do. And so, you know, it's one of these things where, yeah, we are compelled to give our tax dollars to the federal government, but then, you know, they can just spend it on literally anything that they want, it seems, instead of priorities that are actually shaped and approved by we the people, which is the whole idea of self-government. And so there should be some accountability there so that we aren't paying for things that violate our sincerely held religious beliefs, or even just things that we don't authorize because it's really our money. I mean, you know, the government is not a revenue generating institution. And so, you know, the only way, obviously, that you guys can spend anything is by taking it from citizens. And so this is where, you know, I agree with a lot of our friends on the libertarian side of taxation is is theft in a lot of instances. And I'm happy to pay tax dollars to things like, you know, the fire and police and road management, you know, things that actually benefit society. But when you're talking about, you know, these types of grants to go and fund drag shows or LGBTQ agenda, and that's our definition of spreading democracy abroad, I mean, I think that's utterly absurd, and it absolutely needs to be handled. But we're already out of time, Congressman Cloud, and I have so many more questions for you on this whole thing, but I really appreciate you joining the podcast to kind of do this deep dive, because I think a lot of people are not aware of some of these expenditures, and we will really look forward to this new Congress and what you all are doing to hopefully root out some of these excess and ridiculous spending expenditures and hopefully stopping them. And we will all support you in that. And I hope that you will drop by here again or the radio show soon to update us on all of that progress and let us know what we can do to help to amplify the situation, because I think you're absolutely right that the American people have given Republicans a mandate. And so we all support you in this endeavor. So thank you for what you're doing to shine the light on the situation in Washington. All right, well, this has been On Demand with Jenna Ellis, and if you have a question or a topic or a guest that you would like to hear on demand, you can always reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net, and I will see you next week here On Demand.